Welcome to Patent Pod Chat with noted inventor and patent attorney Chris Majorana. Each week, Chris answers your questions on patents, trademarks, and inventions. Now, here's Chris Majorana.
What is an electronic signature?
So instead of using a pen to sign a physical piece of paper, we can send a PDF that is an editable form, and then you can type in your signature using the keypad, and the patent office has a criteria that you put the slash symbols around that. So slash and then your name on a PDF is sufficient for an electronic signature.
Well, that seems a lot easier. Do you recommend it?
Sometimes we do. If a old school pen and ink signature is available, we sort of prefer that.
Well, how so? Why?
Well, there's a bunch of red tape with the electronic signature on the record keeping side. So if you were going to electronically sign, say, a declaration for a patent application, you would put your e-signature on there, and then you would save the document, and then you would email it to me. Now, the patent office says that the email has to come directly from you, not from a helper or a secretary or an admin or anyone like that. It has to come directly from you to me. And if I have any question on the validity of it, I'm not supposed to accept that. So like old school, like say Bill Gates had 1,000 things to sign, he literally would have to send 1,000 different emails to get those signed, where old school he could have his helper, secretary, just have a big conference room full of documents that he signs, and then she takes them away and takes care of them. So that's how it goes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So a procedure to potentially save time might actually take more time, huh?
Yeah, that's right. It does seem weird. So we did a seminar last week about big data and how companies are keeping track of things like your search criteria, things like that. And a lot of that, we kind of uncovered that they're spending more time on things that used to be easy. So electronics and technology does move forward on a lot of things, but you have to make sure that you're getting back what you need out of the thing. So there's also an interesting concept on the distribution of work that, I guess in general, humans are pretty good at that. Like, you do this part, I do that part, and then it works better for everybody. Like, you've probably seen where if you have a helper, sometimes you can go more than twice as fast. So with this electronic signature, it kind of goes backwards, where you're right in there where each person has to do these basic tasks, and they're not allowed to distribute that work.
Yeah, okay, now that makes a lot of sense. Have you ever seen a signature get challenged?
Not directly, but the new themes at the patent office are that they're not going to check a lot of things at the patent office in your file. They're going to just let it go through, and it could be raised in a litigation later. So there are a lot of different things that happened on, and the electronic signatures are one. So if it wasn't right for some reason, you really wouldn't know at the patent office level. So you could have a potential time bomb on your hands.
So that's, I guess, brings up another question. Less things get resolved by the patent office?
Yeah, so when they revised the rules after the America Invents Act, they took away a lot of the things that they used to check and sometimes send back and say, this isn't good enough, we need you to do a little more work. So now what happens is you just don't know. So in the interference case that we won, we made some arguments about the declaration that was in the file that the other side used to get past the inventor declaration. So to get past that, where an inventor just doesn't sign, you have to make normally a showing that says we made our best efforts to find the inventor. He refused to sign, so we're moving forward as the assignee. So with the new rules, you really don't have to make that showing. They just trust that you did it. So if you did not actually do the showing and it comes up later, it could be a problem. And then in the case that I was talking about, the patent board looked at the fact that there was a petition and someone looked at it and they accepted it back then. So they just kind of rubber stamped that we accepted again. So that presumption is going to be gone at the patent office. I mean, they're really not looking at it. So down the road, at potentially a lot more expensive stage in the game, you might have to deal with pretty basic issues.
Yeah, exactly. So does that help or hurt a boutique law firm like Majorana PC?
I think it helps us because we go out of our way to do things, you know, by the book, very particular. We don't need to cut corners on procedures, especially procedures that are required. We just, if that's what the patent office wants, that's what we're going to do. And if we always do things the right way, then if we're in a deposition down the road and some hostile attorney is questioning, you know, minor things, we can say we always do it by the book. So I have seen other places that are cutting corners on certain things, like especially this, you know, someone else emails the signatures over on an e-signature or like a secretary signs for an attorney. And we basically never do that. We always do it the way the rules say to do it.
Right. Okay. What about the application data sheet? Do you electronically sign those?
Yeah, so the application data sheet is the form that we file along with the new patent application. The signature is the attorney filing the application. So that's one that, and we'll prepare that ahead of time with no signature. And part of our filing procedure is, you know, I'll get the file before we go to file, or one of my associates, and we actually open the PDF, we electronically sign the document. So we know that the attorney actually signed it, so we're not concerned about that. And we are stuck with the electronic signature provision for application data sheet so that the patent office can upload that into their system and, you know, just pull the inventor's names and information directly from that form. So there's no retyping, and with complicated names, like say mine, for example, it's easy to mistype a letter or two. So this way the ADS has it. We proof it thoroughly beforehand, and the patent office, you know, gets what we send with no transcription errors.
Thank you for listening to Patent Pod Chat with noted inventor and patent attorney, Chris Majorana. Join us next time as Chris answers your questions on patents, trademarks, and inventions.